Poorly Read.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Yes, the podcast where we take you through the process of assembling a car and how to disassemble it without your father realizing. Most importantly, make sure you reattach the brakes. Or don't. Depends on how big your inheritance is. Yeah, what are we talking about today, Tom?
We're talking about some bloody Harry Potter chapters, aren't we?
Yeah. All right, here we go. Honor of the Phoenix. It's a very big book. Sharpen up your crannies to put them in my nooks.
That was good.
Thank you.
I wasn't sure if you said sharpen your crannies or grannies.
Oh, I mean, well, you can take it however you want.
But then the nooks,
it gives it the context, doesn't it? I'm not doing this for any other book after this.
No, I wouldn't recommend it.
Fuck me, I regret it so much. Oh, God.
Just a little challenge you set yourself.
I know.
It's not like there was a massive outcry from the listeners. Like, we need Gifton to do a song at the start of every episode. You said, it's like immediately, you're like, okay, I'm going to do that at the start of every episode. And then immediately, you're like, oh God, I hate this.
Oh God, I'm a man of extremes. What can I say? Oh dear.
All right, are there any other aspects of the intro?
I can't remember, to be honest.
I don't think. I feel like there was another one came. No, maybe not. I don't know.
I don't think so. No, it's usually us just saying a thing and then being like,
oh yeah,
God.
No, the other one. They're both you. The other one was you saying a random thing that the podcast isn't, which you've already done.
Oh, yes. Yes, I've done both the things.
Great. Excellent. Good. So I've done my easy bit. You've done your two hard bits. So now let's get a cracking. So, chapter 20.
I'm trying to jazz myself up.
Okay, yeah. Gift is just jazzing himself up. I try not to make direct eye contact while he does.
Can you imagine if I was like, no, Tom, I need you to look directly at me.
Otherwise, I just can't get jazzed up. All right, chapter 25, The Beetle at Bay. So I assumed this was going to be something to do with Rita Skeeter, but it's such... Well, I'm not going to moan too much about how long the chapters are, because we do that a lot, but... There's like at least two full chapters worth of stuff before Rita Skeeter even appears. And
I've
like, what the fuck is going to happen?
I've thought that for every first chapter of the episode that we've done for this book so far. I've thought that is more than one chapter's worth of story.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't really understand why she hasn't. I reckon just they didn't want too high a chapter count. So they made her compress it maybe.
Maybe. Maybe that's it. If they got a book with 100 chapters, maybe that's not very like...
Yeah.
Middle grade kid friendly kind of thing.
So far, going through this book, have you thought of any way that you'd have edited it down?
I don't know. I haven't really been looking at it through that lens, I don't think.
Mm.
I've mostly been just taking it at face, in terms of the content that's in the book, I've been taking that at pretty much face value and evaluating whether it makes sense or not and whether or not we can make dick jokes about it.
Yeah, I think I've kind of been the same. I haven't thought, oh, this could have been cut. But I'm wondering if, I just wondered if you had, because I know that she said that she like dared anyone to find how they would have made this book shorter.
I know what you mean. But that said, I feel like this book has a lot more just general, I want to call it world building, but just general description and feeling about it. Where the others just kind of seem to just cut straight to the point of what's happening.
I think some of that is to do with the fact that we have multiple locations in this book. So sort of things unfold in lots of different places, which I think helps, which requires more of an explanation for things. Because we have the Dursleys, because usually it's just the Dursleys and then Hogwarts. But now we have the Dursleys, we've had Grimmauld Place quite a lot. And then we've had Hogwarts as well. And I think kind of bounce. And then we've like the Ministry has played quite a big role in this as well, in terms of location. there's been lots of like bouncing around, I think, and lots of things happening at each thing, which I think is drawing it out.
Yeah. Also, I think there's a greater focus on how Harry is actually feeling about everything.
Yeah.
Whereas before, there's a little bits about, you know, whether Harry's having a good time or a bad time at Hogwarts, but a lot of the time it's like, as I'm listening through a chapter, almost every sentence I can make a note because there's something tangible that's happened. But during this, there are paragraphs where it's not, I'm not making notes because it's not like anything's happening. It's just exploring how Harry's feeling about the general status quo.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot, I mean, I've never felt bored at all.
No. It's just, it's important how Harry's feeling.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Harry's emotional state is also a pretty key part to the story, given the link and everything.
Emotional. Why are you emotional? Yeah.
See, again. You do that. Sometimes I won't even realise I've said, like, what I'm going to call from now on a trigger word. That Gifton will just start singing back to me and I'll just be looking at him blankly.
Yeah, it doesn't discourage me.
No. No. Oh, no, he'll finish his bit. Fucking hell. How do we start?
And start at the very beginning. It's a very good place to start.
Oh, are we going to start every episode like that?
Yeah. Oh, do you know what, as well? In that film, the bit where she's singing Favourite Things, I was thought that the line was when the door bites, as in when you get your finger stuck in a door, not when the dog bites. Because I thought that made more sense tonally with the song for when the door bites, like, because it's more like quaint and like oops than a fucking dog like biting you, which is a bit more like ah.
I guess so.
Yeah.
But if, I mean, it's the next line is when the bee stings.
Yeah, but a bee sting, obviously that's really bad as well, but a bee sting is more like, oh, I'm flouncing in the garden and I've interrupted a bee kind of thing.
For flouncing.
Yeah.
Oh, that was your verb of choice.
Flouncing, now when I think of flouncing, what I can think of is like Julie Andrews on her back, sort of like, a hand on each side of her like outer like labia and then sort of like kneading them upwards, and that sort of flouncing is. I was flouncing in the garden and
well, where do you flounce?
And because I'm Julie Andrews, I excrete quite a sweet nectar. And whoops, BB came along and
went, tried to pollinate.
But don't worry, it died soon after.
It was consumed.
And now it's stuck in me, frozen in time, like that mosquito in Jurassic Park. spared no expense. Oh, God. When the dog bites. When the shark bites. What's the other? When the shark bites.
When the ray stings.
When the ray stings. When I'm Steve Irwin. I simply remember his kids are rich now, and then I don't feel so bad. Anyway, that's not what happens.
No. In fact, we haven't talked about anything that happens yet.
I don't mind. It's standard fare.
Yeah, it's bloody japes and jollies, isn't it?
Japes and jollies.
Yeah, that's like, so that's the end of the intro segment, Japes and Jollies.
Yeah. Yeah, boy. Oh god, right, so the next morning, I can't remember what happened the night before, but here we go.
But Harry's question was answered.
Yeah. Oh, no, he had the thingy that Voldemort was happiest.
Yeah, it's like, wondered why, what could have made Voldemort the happiest he's been in 14 years.
He found out the child was not his.
Do Yes, Bellatrix came back from the clinic with the all clear.
It's not a baby. It turns out I've just got IBS. Everyone was like, well, you do eat a lot of pasta.
You ought to cut down on those carbs, Bella.
Here, just do what I do. Just drink Nagini's milk. She's like, no, thank you. Yeah.
No, I quite like my nose as it is.
If my nose is going to be destroyed by anything, I want it to be Coke and not fucking snake venom. Oh, God, yeah. They get the Daily Prophet and there's been mass breakout from Azkaban. Read all about it.
Yeah, exactly. All the Death Eaters that are currently incarcerated have been broken out and they're listed with their pictures in the Daily Prophet. It was like Dolohov and Avery and Rookwood.
Yeah.
For various misdemeanors.
Most of it was like they killed people.
Oh, you know, they killed people.
Yeah.
Put their wands in places.
Oh, God. Yeah, and then you see Bellatrix Lestrange. I still like saying Lestrange, to be honest.
Bellatrix Lestrange.
Is that how it would be said in French?
Probably, if you were being a caricature about it.
Yeah. Who is Bellatrix? Triste Lestrange. Oh,
oh, oh oui. Je suis français.
Yeah, and the ministry fears that Sirius is the rallying point for the escaped Death Eaters.
Yes, which, given the narrative that they've like concocted so far, is you know, makes sense.
Yes,
that they would, you know, continue it in that way.
Yeah.
So yeah, Harry's looking around the Great Hall, and everyone's just carrying on their business as usual. Because not everyone takes the prophet every day like Hermione does. The staff table looks pretty grave, though. Hermione spots another article saying that Ministry of Magic worker Roderick Bode was strangled by a plot plant.
A plot plant?
Did I say? Do you know what? I accidentally wrote plot plant as well and then deleted the L. And it does say pot plant, but I still apparently can't fucking say it.
I mean, to be fair, it is a plot plant.
It is.
Oh, God. But yeah, and so they look at that and then they sort of have like a series of like revelations about everything, basically, because they're like, Bode. No, Harry's like, hold on, Bode. But he's like, hold on, I saw him. That's where I remember him from. That's why he was familiar. I saw him at the ministry the day I was there with your dad, and your dad said he was an unspeakable.
Yeah, works in the Department of Mysteries. They deduce that it was, in fact, not just an accident with a pot plant, but that someone put it in there deliberately to kill him because he, you know, was for whatever reason. They're not sure yet. And then Hermione gets all... She stands up and she's like, I've got to send a letter. I don't know. It's worth trying, but I'm the only one who can. And then walks off. And then Ron's like, I fucking hate her when she does that.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. She's the only one who has an Enigma machine, but... I never get so old. Right, so I thought Hagrid shows up with a new cut, but for a second I thought I said a haircut. What would Hagrid's new haircut be? Maybe like a mohawk.
I don't know, but I think Grawp would still be responsible. He set up a little salon in the forest.
Grawp, why have you got so many pairs of scissors? He's like, oh, I watched this film the other day, and the guy in that, he did really well, and all the women were happy with what he gave them. And he's like, yeah, but I don't think it's a good idea. I know. Yeah, Johnny Depp was very talented, but... See what happens? You do a movie, you get lauded for it, and then you do fucking 7 sequels and everyone thinks you're a fucking joke. So don't do that, girl. He's like, I'm trying not to. Go on then, give me air a good cut. And he's like, oops, sorry. Hagrid, I didn't mean to decapitate you.
Hagrid.
Oh, but now I can use your head as a football / commode.
Hagrid mentions he's on probation just as part of their chat.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what? Like, What, like, has he been let out of prison? Yeah. That's it, yeah, because he's like, I don't know if you noticed, but that inspection didn't go quite as we planned.
Yeah. Yeah, news of the breakout starts to spread around the school. There's lots of general muttering. They often see teachers, like, in the corridor. Did I do another trigger word?
Sorry.
Yeah. What breakout song were you? Because I've got a breakout song in my head as well, but I wonder if it's the same one.
I changed the words of freak out to breakout.
Oh.
What are you doing?
Foo Fighters, Breakout.
I don't know that song.
I didn't think you would, which is why I was like, huh, because it sounded sort of like it.
Sorry.
But yeah, they often see teachers like discussing in corridors who then shush as soon as sort of students approach. The trio are like, well, I mean, I get they, you know, they can't talk freely in the staff room anymore, can they?
Yeah, and like Harry sort of gets the impression that people might, because like the tone of the conversations he's overhearing seems more like questioning rather than dismissive about Harry's like claims to staff. So he gets a sort of vibe that people are a bit like, this doesn't quite add up. So sort of the tone is like, maybe Harry's not as crazy as we thought.
Mm.
That's the sort of like general vibe he's getting from people at the moment.
Yes. And then there's another educational decree. Professors may not impart any information not pertaining to their subjects.
Yeah, and Harry's like, well, it didn't go quite as planned, because in Defense Against the Dark Arts, Umbridge told the twins off for playing Exploding Snap. And Lee Jordan's like, well, you can't tell them off, can you? Because that hasn't got anything to do with Defense Against the Dark Arts. And Harry's like, he saw Lee Jordan a few days later with a very sore hand and half his abdomen missing. And Harry was like, I see you've been Umbridged. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, she has this really sick thing, Harry. So she puts me in like a paddling pool. And then she like transfigures into a shark.
And he's like, I know about the paddling pool, Lee. She made me taste her fins as well.
I don't know if you know how sharks reproduce, Harry.
But... there was an episode on it the other week.
So that's funny.
Yes, Harry recommends Essence of Mertlap to Lee.
Essence of Mertlap.
Exactly. That's exactly how he recommends it.
Yeah. You know what you should try, Lee? Essence of Mertlap. He like gently like caresses his face. And he's like, have you got any? He's like, Essence of Mertlap. He's like, have you got any? Like, have you got any Essence of Mertlap? Ron's like, sorry, you get stuck sometimes.
Yeah, he just comes and gives him a little nudge, gives him a little kick. Umbridge is suddenly in every divination and magical creatures lesson. She's just being a massive bitch and trying to control every aspect of Hogwarts life. So he redoubles his efforts for the DA, and Neville's doing really well.
He is doing really well. Hold on. Is he? Yes, he is.
Yeah. But, oh shit, no, he's been, no, business as usual.
No, Neville is doing really well. He can hold his wand upright and everything now.
Yes.
Yeah. And Harry's like, thank God, Neville, because I was going to have to go and make you live in the forest with Hagrid's special friend, but you can stay.
He's going to get you one of Hagrid's special haircuts. Yes.
That's all right, no scissor hands for you. Oh, God, yeah, and it's, like, blatantly because, obviously, Bellatrix has been let out. So Neville's like, I don't know what Neville thinks he's going to do, but...
Fucking learn a load of defensive spells.
Yeah, and see how that fucking works when he's heading off against Helena Bonham Carter.
I mean, he fares all right against the Death Eaters that infiltrate Hogwarts in the end. He gets battered up a bit, but...
What, in the end?
Well, throughout the seventh book.
I mean, yeah, he does all right, I guess.
He lives.
Yeah,
more
a lot
than you can say for
do.
A lot of people.
That's true. I can say that about Fred.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Lupin. Or Tonks, Tom.
Yep.
I'm so glad you died. What you didn't see is that it wasn't a Death Eater that killed her. It was Lupin. Yeah.
Now's my chance.
Yeah. While he was gloating, he actually got struck in the back with a curse. And he was like,
worth it.
And Harry's occlumency lessons are not improving. His scar keeps hurting more and more. and he becomes more receptive to Volder thoughts.
To Volder thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says his scar's been bothering him. Basically, it feels like it's always prickling now, and he's like an antenna tuned in to Voldemort's feelings, and he thinks he can date it back to his first occlumency lesson.
Yeah, and Hermione, he's like, you need to work harder.
Better. Faster. Stronger.
And Ron says, maybe Snape is opening Harry's mind for Voldemort. Have you ever thought about that, eh?
Yeah.
Hey.
And Hermione tells him, shut up, he's being an idiot.
You don't be ridiculous. And Ron's head turns into a balloon. And she's like, ah, that spell works for everything. Pop.
All right, Harry, now it's just the two of us. We can actually... Actually, you know what? Thinking about it, Ron has been a completely fucking limp dick, useless third wheel throughout this whole book. He's not done anything.
Done a single thing.
No.
He's just repeatedly fucked things up.
Yeah, he's just there.
Yeah. In fact, he kind of does that throughout the rest of this series.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like he's served a best friend role pretty well earlier on. I mean, there's the whole thing.
Yeah,
like when he falls out with Harry in the fourth book, you do want them to like make up.
I do. I mean, Rod's Rod.
No, and then Rod Stewart turns up.
He's like, "If you want my body, hey."
He's like 90.
And he's like, "Not right now." Come back to me later. I've got oxygen tanks upstairs. And he's like, thank you. Ah, he was never seen again.
It wasn't oxygen.
I enjoy him talking, I guess, but as he doesn't really serve a
No, but I feel like this is the first book where I've really thought that. The others, I think, having a best friend role is important for Harry.
Maybe it's just like a cumulative effect we suddenly realise now.
Maybe. But I feel like without Ron, I feel like this book would have been fine without Ron, because Hermione is almost doing the best friend
thing.
It
would have been fine, it just would have been more boring.
Maybe, but I think that's the case for all previous books. But for this book, I don't know that I would have really noticed if Ron wasn't in it at all.
I think I would, because there would have been no moments of levity.
I mean, are there any in this? Like
when Ron accidentally circumcised himself, when Ron shut McGonagall in the cupboard and wouldn't let her out again. That was funny until she got out of the cupboard, and then it wasn't so funny.
Because they'd all gobbled up her shortbread.
Yeah, and Retribution was not kind.
No.
Ron's name is now Ronithra. So yeah.
Okay. So apart from all those made up scenarios,
Ron's fine.
Yeah, he's fine. I just don't think he's adding much to this book.
Yeah, he's not. He's not at all.
No.
Anyway, Valentine's Day comes around.
Yes, Hermione has asked Harry to meet her in the Three Broomsticks at 3 o'clock, and Harry says, "Well, you might need to spend all day with Cho." And she's like, "Hermione's like, well, bring her along if you need to."
Yeah. Just make sure she stands outside. And then Ron's like, oh, I've got fucking training all day.
Yeah.
He's like, I just want to quit. And I was like, no, you can't quit.
Because it provides a good reason to not have to write you into a lot of scenes. Yeah.
If you quit now, then you might have to come with us for the grow-up scene. And then one of us might end up making a sensible decision. And we can't have that, Ron.
We might end up coining the term Ronectomy. Grow-up's got scissors, you know.
So many of them, Ron. snip, snip here and a snip, snip there. So, Harry meets Cho. That rhymed. And they head into Hogsmeade.
Yes, and Harry wonders what the fuck they're going to talk about.
Yeah, well, at first they start talking about Quidditch and it's all going fine. And Harry's like, this feels so easy. Like he was chatting to Ron or Hermione.
And then the Slytherins see them.
Yeah.
And are very childish about the whole thing.
Yeah, Pansy's like, oh, I don't think much of your taste, Cho. At least Cedric was good looking.
Burn.
Yeah. Harry's got such thick skin, though.
Mm. I mean, he's had to, hadn't he?
Yeah.
Built up layers over time.
Yeah. But Cho says something interesting. She's like, isn't it weird that there's no Dementors here? But when Black escaped, there was like tons of them everywhere. And Harry's like, yeah, that is weird.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, he thinks that the Ministry truly had lost control of them.
Mm.
It's like, So I wonder if the Dementors are still at the moment in charge of Azkaban.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe
I don't
if they're not, maybe that's why it was so easy for the... Maybe the Death Eaters just walked out.
Yeah.
They're like, fucking hell, okay, Philip is nowhere near.
This is it. I mean, it seems all it would take is Voldemort to just approach the Dementors and be like, I am back.
Yeah.
You can exact all the soul-sucking you want under my reign, and the Dementors would be like, cool, good.
Yeah. It must be exactly that.
Because I feel like Dementors aren't particularly like, you know, they're pretty single-minded, like hive-minded. Like, there's not going to be some rogue Dementors who feel differently about Voldemort's principles.
Queen Dementor.
Like a queen bee.
Yeah. Oh my god, that'd be so cool. And her like outfit, her like cloak thing is like a really like spooky version of like Elizabeth the First. I'd love that. That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
And she can talk when the other Dementors can't.
Like Aragog.
Yeah. But her, she sounds like. And Harry's like, yeah, me too. Yeah.
Although, just to be clear, that wasn't talking.
She's like,
sorry.
Sorry, I had a frog in my throat then. What I meant to say.
One too many souls today.
Yeah, I would like that. Make that happen.
All right, that's canon. That's poorly read canon.
Yeah, should we give her a name?
Yeah, go on then.
Let's call her Elizamenta. There we go.
Elizamenta.
Yeah, or Dementibuth.
Yeah, I like that. or one then the other. Elizamenta Dementibuth.
Oh, that sounds too, like, humanoid.
Yeah.
Dementibuth sounds like a legend. When things get rough, you bring in Dementibuth, and she comes in on a hoverboard. Feet on another board. She's got like a fag in her mouth and a bottle of Jack Daniels. She's got like a webby face like the rest of them.
Yeah.
And her mouth is obviously like the Dementor hole, but then maybe there's like extra, like her jaw like splits apart, and like the vacuum she creates is enough to suck like an entire like cow into there, and so she's the only Dementor that Dumbledore's scared of. Like, I don't. Oh, it's just so awkward when we bump into each other. Like one crazy night at uni. I used to be a good man, Harry, and then she sucked me a little too well. And now I can do heinous things and I don't feel a thing. Oh, God.
There's a lot of ways it's her fault all those poor women are buried in the backyard.
Oh, God. Anyway, Harry, close your mind. So, yeah, they head to Madame Puddyfoot's.
Yes.
I always read that as Puddyfoot's when I was reading the book.
I can't even remember reading it.
I just don't like the way that sounds, Puddyfoot.
Madam Puddyfoot.
Sounds like Pussyfoot, but said by Tweety Bird.
Putty to it.
Please can we call it that now for now? So how's the putty to it?
She got that good putty to it.
Please can put that on a t-shirt. Oh my god.
So speaking of putty toot, Roger Davis and his girlfriend are next to Harry and Cho and
start making out over the sugar bowl.
Yeah.
So Harry and Cho start talking about Umbridge because it's getting awkward.
Yeah.
It gets awkward super quick and kind of out of nowhere.
It does, but at the same time, like, I don't know, I kind of relate. Like, it's been in situations where, like, you want someone to you want to be engaging and cool.
That's
and
true,
so you can
yeah.
like overthink it, and both of you are sat there like, we want to be talking to each other, but like as soon as you start having to actively try and think of something to make conversation with, it becomes impossible.
Yeah, that's very true. And especially because they weren't friends before this.
No,
they've
exactly.
always sort of interacted on the basis of them liking each other.
Yeah.
So it's not like they can just talk like how they used to, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess like the pressure of seeing the other two kissing at the other table sort of making it all a bit weird. And there's like little like seraphims floating around and shooting bows and stuff.
Yeah.
Is seraphim the right word? Seraphs.
Sheriffs.
Sheriffs. There's men in cowboy boots shooting people at a random table.
Yes. It's a Wild West salute.
Yeah.
There's Madame Puddyfoot.
Yeah. She's sitting on top of Fiala.
Well, yeehaw, y'all.
Welcome to my salon, dude. Harry's like, no. So they start talking about Umbridge as like the last hope as having a bit
of
conversation.
That dries up. And
yeah,
then
and
the,
then Harry's like, oh, do you know what? I need to meet Hermione and the Three Broomsticks at this time. Do you want to come with me? And he thinks he's sort of being like cool and like...
just come with me and meet my
inclusive and
my friends kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, and then she's like...
Oh, you're meeting Hermione Granger, are you?
And she's like, oh, you know, like Cedric brought me in here last year. She's like, did he say...
First she says, apparently Roger Davis asked her out.
Yeah, that's it. He's like, you know, he asked me out, but I said no.
I was like, oh.
Well, okay.
Humble brag, but...
Yeah. She's like, his dick was just too small, Harry. I don't take 9 inches or under. And Harry's like,
Gorgio.
Well, this world just goes out of control.
Yeah, the table just... just falls over. It's like, fuck. It's like Aunt Marge all over again.
Yeah, and then she's like, yeah, and Cedric brought me in here last year. And Harry's like, what? And then she's like, did he say anything about me before
Did he touch you anywhere? Did you get fingered under the sugar bowl?
Oh, my God. Oh, she's like, no, he just covered me in salad dressing and then took photographs. And I was like, oh, Cedric, man after my own heart. But no, Harry's like, well, no, we didn't have time to. Like, we fucking landed in the graveyard and then he was killed. Why would he fucking say, do you know what?
Yeah.
Chose really something else.
I took her to Madame Puddyfoot's saloon. Covered her in salad dressing. Wrapped her in seaweed.
Oh, God, she came out good as new, Harry. Wait, what's that green light? No, and then Cho's like, just starts crying. And Harry's like, oh, for God's sake.
Yeah. And Harry's like, look, let's not talk about Cedric. We don't need to talk about it. She's like, I want to talk about it. I haven't had a chance to talk about it with anyone, and I need to talk. You must need to talk about it too. And Harry's like, well, I mean, I have. I've talked about it with Ron and Hermione. And she's like,
oh, so you told Hermione about everything. And then she flips the table and then just fucking pisses on his face. He's like, wait, I wasn't ready.
He gets out his camera phone. She flounces in his face.
And then she's like, do you know what? Go fuck off with Hermione then. I hope her Peking duck is as good as mine.
No, her sauerkraut's pretty good though. Oh my God.
Oh, I get out.
So yeah, Cho storms out and then Harry goes, well, he's a bit early to go and meet Hermione and the Three Broomsticks, but he's sure there's someone there he can pass the time with. So he goes into Three Broomsticks, but he finds Hagrid.
That's very presumptuous of him, though, because he doesn't really talk to many people.
No, but if, you know, I guess, like, if Dean and... Seamus is still a bit pissy with him, isn't he? Yeah, I don't know.
That's a bit weird.
I guess maybe someone from the DA might be in there.
That's true, but Harry doesn't seem like the kind of person who makes, like, small conversation with people.
No?
Well, I mean... He doesn't really talk to anyone.
We don't see it very often, but I don't think he would... shy away from it with an eye roll as like we might.
No, I'd imagine he'd find it awkward.
I feel like he'd rather, yeah, probably, but I don't know. There's a certain stigma about being by yourself socially at that age. I don't know. I feel like Harry would probably rather be with people than by himself.
Maybe. Okay. Yeah, I'll go with that. So Harry gets to the free room 16. He sees Hagrid in there.
Yeah, with a load of fresh injuries.
Yeah, he's got a new haircut.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't think you could get another one in such a short space of time, but you really managed it.
Hagrid's like, don't know what you're talking about. What haircut? Oh, this is just natural bumps and...
Hagrid, you're completely bald and your beard is gone.
Ah, nonsense. And he starts talking about family. It's important, blood relations. And yeah, he's trying to keep it. And to be fair, you know, Hagrid is like doing his best not to ruin Harry's life with his latest monster.
That's true. Until he does.
Well, I've forgotten how Grawp gets introduced, so we'll...
It literally just like, look, here's Grawp.
All right, well, I'll look forward to the whole chapter on that.
I feel like we should dedicate a whole episode to that one chapter. Do you know? Think? Yeah. So Hagrid has to go. So he's like, I've got to go. And then he goes. And then Harry hears someone go, over here.
Over here.
You won't know this, but that was like a perfect impression of on the Harry Potter ride. The first one, the Forbidden Journey ride in Universal, when you first get on the ride vehicle and you go along the conveyor belt, you hear Hermione go, over here. And then you look up and then she says something and then she flu powders you and then you get whisked off into the ride.
Huh.
Yeah. Although I didn't realize, I didn't see her the first time I went on that ride.
Well, you just got some dust in your face.
I was like, oh, that was mean. No, I heard it. Because I heard like over here, but I looked like side to side and I couldn't see anything. But she's like above you. And like, we think you should have said up here, shouldn't you? Yeah. Yeah, so Hermione summons Harry over. She
Yes.
Accio Harry, and he fucking flies across the bar and smacks his head into the wall. And she's like, we should have been wearing a helmet.
It's like, Hermione, I've asked you not to do that. I can walk. And she's like, look, I like efficiency.
And who's fucking sitting with Hermione?
He sees Hermione sat with two most unlikely people imaginable.
He's... Yes, Roger Moore and Charles Manson. Harry's like, you know, I can see what you have in common with both of these people. One of them's very, very posh, and the other one's a huge Nazi. Well done, Hermione. Yes, this truly is Helter Skelter. You ain't get that.
I do not. Are we carrying on, or?
I don't know. Are you curious about Helter Skelter?
Not really.
I'll tell you, because okay. I like talking.
All right, go ahead. Tell me about something I just explicitly said I'm not interested in.
So Charles Manson, he was really into the Beatles, and when he was setting up his cult, his like murder cult.
Is that what he called it?
Yeah. No, he actually called it The Family, which is even scarier, I think. Huh. There's this, I don't know if the song is called Helter Skelter or they say Helter Skelter in it.
Oh, right,
but
yeah.
Obviously, like, Helter Skelter was that fairground where you get on the mat and go down the, but he didn't know what that was. And he thought it held, like, Helter Skelter was like this, like, thing, which was going to mean that the day when the black man was going to rise up and fight against white oppressors and take over, like,
yeah, a dreadful day for all of us. Sorry.
That's it, Tom. I can't wait. Unfortunately for me, as a mixed race man, I won't benefit either way. But yeah, so that was his whole like crusade started with this idea that he wanted to start this war while it was still within his control and then like retreat into the middle of the desert. So he tried to he committed these murders and tried to make it look like a racist attack by black people to sort of...
Oh, well, he murdered white people.
Yeah, so he murdered... The most famous ones is the Sharon Tate murders, where Roman Polanski and his wife were staying at this house. And Roman Polanski was away, but his wife and a few of their celebrity friends were there, and she was pregnant at the time. And he sent his followers, a few of his followers, into the house, and they murdered them all. And then they wrote, like, pig on the wall and stuff like that to make it look like it was, like, a racist attack.
Mm.
And it was to try and instigate what he saw as this, like, inevitable war that was going to, like, happen. Yeah.
Wow.
It's fucking... It's that whole story is fucking nuts. It's nuts.
And yeah. Penises.
It's grey-grey. <Benaya. laughs> So yeah, it's not Charles Manson and Roger Moore. No, is it?
It's not. It's Luna Lovegood and Rita Skeeter. So close.
Rita looks rough as fuck.
Yes.
She's had to resort to wearing dungarees and red kerchiefs around her neck. And she's like, look, in the absence of journalistic employment, I've joined Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Oh my god.
Oh god.
Okay. So yeah. Rita's just pining to write a story about Harry and his claims and put a spin on it that it's mental and all
yes.
of this.
How about this as a title? Come on, Harry, I'll swear it's the truth. And Harry's like, I like it. what a song.
What a song indeed. It's actually a fucking great song. Do you know there's like a dance people do? It's like everyone gets in the circle and like comes in and out like
the Hokey Cokey?
Kind of, yeah.
Wow.
There was something like that. Something that involves everyone being around in a circle. And it always happened for Come On Eileen.
Do you remember there was that dance to Saturday Night by Wigfield? And it was like, put your hands in your hips and did like the wave motion with your hands. Like, Saturday Night Dancer. And it's like, that was never in the performances or in the videos, but people made that up and then it became a thing. And there's so many dances that are like that became a thing.
Wigfield was that?
Yeah.
Huh.
You remember that song, right?
Yeah, I do remember that song. I never knew. If you'd asked me who it was, I might have said like Gina G.
No, Gina G was, ooh, ah, just a little bit, ooh, ah, a little bit more, ooh, ah, just a little bit, you know what I'm looking for.
He can't only do half a chorus.
I think Tom's got an issue with me this episode.
Yeah, I'm really coming for you this episode, aren't I?
Oh, God.
Yeah, all right, so basically Hermione's plan is to let Rita write her article, but she's going to do it exactly how Harry says it and not embellish and
give all
the details.
Wait, hold
on, have
we said what she wants to do?
Give Harry's full account of what happened the night in the graveyard and Voldemort being back and stuff.
Yes, well done.
And Hermione's like fully blackmailing her. She's like, yeah. And Rita's like, oh, I'm supposed to do this for free, am I? And Hermione's like, well, yes, otherwise I'm going to tell everyone that you're an unregistered animagus and you'll go to Azkaban.
Try writing things from there. And Rita's yes. like, I guess I've got no choice, have I, Hermione?
Could I bring my fiddle? Chapter 26, Seen and Unforeseen.
What's that in reference to?
Yeah, I'm not really sure about that either. Seen, because he sees...
What happens in this chapter?
He's... Where are we?
Who are you? And why are you putting that gun in my mouth?
That's not a gun.
That's my fun gun. Like, oh, okay.
But yeah, I think Seen and Unforeseen. So Seen is when he gets the vision as Voldemort interrogating Rookwood about shit. And then Unforeseen...
Maybe because Umbridge goes to Trelawney, like, are you trying to say that you didn't see this coming?
Yeah.
Maybe something like that, because obviously in Trelawney's like a seer and that kind of vibe.
Yeah, we get the Umbridge ejection.
So Luna says she doesn't know when the article's going to be published. We don't see Harry do the interview. It just kind of skips to the next day. Harry told her everything. And then he's wondering what people are going to think. And like, he's told, like, I think the other boys in his dorm what he's done. And Dean's like, oh, I'm excited for it to come out, Harry, and stuff. And Neville's like, yeah, I think you did the right thing there. People need to know about what's going on, you know?
Hermione asks how his date went with Cho. And Harry tells her, and Hermione tells him, why he's an idiot.
Yeah. She explains the difference between boys and girls and how they interact. And Harry's like, fuck it, hell. Everyone's like, fuck it, hell.
Yeah.
And girl's like, money, hell. And basically, Hermione's like, look, you shouldn't have been so happy to come and... You shouldn't have sounded so, like, excited to come and see me at the Three Broomsticks. You shouldn't have made it like you weren't that bothered and you didn't really want to.
Yeah.
So I think she's a bit jealous. And Harry's like, that's ridiculous. And she's like, yeah, but Cho doesn't know that, you know. She doesn't know the particulars of our relationship and stuff.
Yeah.
That's like a summary, I guess.
That'll do.
That's the gist. And Harry thinks that Cho should have just been upfront about what she wanted.
She should have just been up for it.
Yeah. Fuck it, hell. I don't know what to do. I gave her a red envelope and wished her a happy new year. What else is there?
Well, I hear Cedric used to wrap her in seaweed. Used to call her his little sushi box. She told him it was the wrong country, but he didn't seem to mind.
But, you know, painted her in white, put some red lip on her, and was like, you will become geisha. And she's like, I'm not Japanese.
Yeah, this is very culturally insensitive, Cedric.
Pour my tea and do a fan dance. Oh my god.
I've lost any sense of whether or not this is okay. I've no idea.
It's not at all.
No, it isn't.
Oh, God.
Oh, fucking hell. Right, the Quidditch, Gryffindor Quidditch team is awful. Fred and George sort of are like, you know, now Quidditch was basically the only thing here worth staying for. Not sure we've got anything to stick around for anymore. Hermione's like, yeah, they start bitching about the teams and...
Yeah, they say that Ginny's okay, but Ron can't save anything when people are watching.
Yeah, Gryffindor lose their next match only by 10 points, as Ginny caught the snitch when they were 160 points down at a weird point. Like, yeah.
Yes, it was hovering right by McGonagall's mouth. So she lunged forward, her fist went inside.
McGonagall couldn't stop it because she had her hand up Lee Jordan's back. She's like, oh no!
Oh no, she's gone for the snitch. She's going for the snitch. Oh, look at what she's done. She put her hat in her mouth. Oh, it's so much fun! Oh god. Yeah, so Hermione doesn't get what the fucking, like, she thinks that Quidditch just breeds too much animosity between the houses.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, look, you get, like, you may understand feelings and stuff, Hermione, but you just don't understand Quidditch. Hermione's like, I don't give a shit. I've got bigger fish to fry.
Yes.
I've got bigger Jews to fry. Oh god.
Jews to fry. Fucking hell.
Oh, God. We're going to open up a new restaurant, Harry. It's called Kosherama. Oh, God, that's atrocious, right?
Harry, my next note is that Harry goes to sleep and he can't help but think of Umbridge, but thinking about Umbridge and Snape. Which makes it very difficult for him to clear his mind.
Yeah, because it's so sexually excited.
Exactly.
Snape keeps his cloak on. Umbridge wears fuzzy lingerie.
Yes, pink and fluffy.
Yeah, crotchless, of course.
Yeah, hence the pink and fluffy segment.
Flame retardant.
He dreams that Neville and Professor Sprout are waltzing in the Room of Requirement and McGonagall's playing the bagpipes. And then...
Of course she is.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Racist.
Yeah, so she is actually Scottish then. So why isn't he giving her a Scottish accent?
I don't know.
That's weird.
Yeah. I guess Seamus Finnegan is like very obviously an Irish name. Minerva McGonagall, not so much. That there are clues dropped throughout the books, but maybe by the time... To be fair, McGonagall is like one of the first characters that actually speaks in the very beginning. And there's not a lot of clues up until that point. And so it's that you can't change your accent after you've started.
That's true, I guess.
Yeah, but then he leaves the Room of Requirement in his dream and there's a torch and he sees a familiar door. But it's ajar this time. There's a little light poking through it. And then just as he's about to reach it, Ron wakes him up by snoring really loudly.
That's the kind of thing that made me get out of bed and fucking smack him hard. I was just about to get to the good bit. You fucking prick. And
what am I supposed to do with this thing?
Yeah. Snore on this. And everyone's like, what are you doing, Harry? He's like, never you mind. Look away.
Yeah, Neville's used to it.
So Neville just turns over and puts his thumb in his mouth. He's like, it's all right. It's all right. I'm safe. I'm safe. Safe.
They say he has a lot in common with the Dark Lord.
Just like the Dark Lord, he loves to spread fear and discord. Oh, God. The next day, the post owls arrive. Post owls!
Yeah, all right. Post owls jingle. Short and sweet, that one.
Yeah.
Harry gets a letter. And then another letter. And then another letter. And then a magazine.
Yeah, Le Magazin.
Le Magazin, which actually means shop.
Oh, yeah. Drops a shop. And I was like, oh, I filled out the order form wrong.
This really shouldn't be an option on the tick box list.
Okay, I guess I'm running this now.
All right. It's a copy of the Quibbler with his article in it and a load of letters from readers. And it's a mixed bag of opinions.
Yeah, some like him, some don't.
Exactly.
Then Umbridge comes over and she's like, what is this? What's the commotion?
And he just says, oh, I did an interview for a magazine.
She's like, what? And he thrusts it forward. She's like, no.
And then he hands her the magazine. Sorry.
We're so predictable.
That was so shit.
She's like, one's away, Potter.
Yes, Professor Umbridge.
And then she sees a picture and she's like, and when did you do this?
Yeah, it's the Hogsmeade weekend.
So there'll be no more Hogsmeade trip for you.
Yes, 50 points from Gryffindor and another week of detention.
Yes, no matter how hard I try, you just can't seem to lick it right. I mean, you just can't seem to stop telling lies.
It's the paddling pool for you again, Potter.
Sharky, sharky. Yeah, and she puts up another declaration. Like, anyone caught with a copy of the Quibbler or reading or talking about the Quibbler will immediately get a detention and all that jazz, or fired, yes, or expelled.
Exactly. Which Hermione is very pleased about. And she points out, quite rightly, it seems, that a surefire way to make sure everyone reads the article is to ban it.
So there's a name for that. And it's called the Streisand effect. So there was like about 10, 15 years ago, there was a picture online of Barbara Streisand's house. I don't know how it was, like, part of a thing, and it just happened to be part of the picture. Mm. So Barbara Streisand started, like, she did like a cease and desist thing for them to take the picture down. And then because it got so much press coverage, everyone fucking knew where Barbara Streisand's house was.
Yeah.
So things after that have learned from that. And if there's something that's coming out that's going to be just like disparaging about, like, there was someone made like a horror film inside Disneyland, and instead of Disney taking like action against it, they learned from what happened there and they just decided to completely ignore it, and it never really became a thing. No one ever really like saw it or anything like that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So Harry starts getting praise from teachers, like Professor Sprout gives him like 20 points to Gryffindor for handing her a pot, and Flitwick gives him a little cuddle.
No, he gives him some sugar mice.
Yeah. Well, you know, you say potato, I say potato.
I'm going to give him my sugar mice. They like to run around. They get up in your colon. They go in white, come out brown.
The Rusty Mouse.
That's the name of the album. No. The lid's on.
The lid's on. Cho comes up and says sorry for being a bit of a dick and forgives him, and Seamus does as well, and it's all going well, and the Quibbler's sold out, and Luna's dad's having to reprint. The story's proving even more popular than the story he was going to run about Crumplehorn Snorkax. Imagine that.
Oh god, they should have paid Rita something.
Yeah, like, yeah, they really should have. Yeah. I mean, I know she's horrible, but still.
It's... This is too far, I think.
Yeah.
This is Hermione just, yet again, just exerting her power.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gone point. That pushed it past the point of kind of comeuppance,
yeah,
retribution, and is now just Hermione blackmailing,
yeah,
someone.
it's just plain wrong. Yeah. She just said, look, Harry will give you a galleon. I will give a galleon and a packet of licorice wands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just, I don't know, negotiate with fucking Xenophilius.
Yeah. Or just made her swallow a pill and said, I'll give you the antidote when you publish the article. And then.
Yeah, that would be more fair.
And then Harry gets an early night and he dreams of Voldemort again. Voldemort is speaking to Rookwood.
Oh, yeah. He's looking down at his own long white fingers gripping the back of a chair or something. And there's a man in robes kneeling before him. It's Rookwood, and he, Harry, is saying in a cold, high voice,
I shall do to you what I did to Lucius. And he's like, well, it's no fun if you like it, Rookwood.
Yes, it seems I have been badly informed. I was told Bode would be able to remove it. And he's like, oh no, Bode would never have been able to remove it. He'd have known he would never have been able to remove it.
Yes, you need to see a specialist when you have that kind of boil. Bode was like, well, it serves me right. I should have known. Bellatrix picked up all sorts in Azkaban.
Yeah. She said she got the all clear, but she lies.
And I should have known. Voldemort always knows.
I should have known she was up to her old Bella.
Fuck off.
I knew before I even said it.
Yeah, so what does Bo... and then Rookwood says that Bode would have known he couldn't have moved the prophecy. That's why he fought so hard against Lucius's Imperius curse.
That's it, yeah.
Not the prophecy, sorry, he says remove it. Yeah, but it is, yeah, the prophecy, yeah.
And then, yeah, Harry catches sight of himself in a reflection somewhere, and he's Voldemort.
Yeah.
With no nose and red eyes, yeah, and all that.
But Voldemort says, we'll need to start again. A new plan.
Yes.
And it's like, mm-hmm. That's meant to be spooky music.
Oh.
It's not just Voldemort's little, like, you know, like, tick. That's my plan making music. yeah, Harry wakes up.
Yeah, wakes up screaming, and Ron comes over to him. Ron's like, you've got to go and tell. And Harry's like, I don't have to go and tell anyone.
Yeah, apart from Hermione, but that'll be tomorrow.
Yes.
He doesn't say that, but that's what he's thinking.
But that's what he does.
Yeah. So he tells Hermione tomorrow.
Yes. And Hermione puts the pieces together that Bode was recovering in hospital, and there would have been something on the door of the Department of Mysteries that would have addled his brain, but he might have been recovering, and so they couldn't risk him recovering and remembering what he had been doing and, you know, telling people, basically. So someone planted the devil's snare.
Yeah, and then she says, and then she theorises that Sturgis Podmore, he was caught around that area. No, he was caught in the Department of Mysteries
earlier
as well.
On, trying,
yeah,
to get through the door. And you saw Malfoy on the day of your trial.
Yeah.
You know, there's a chance that...
He was Imperioed because he was under the invisibility cloak. under Moody's invisibility cloak, standing watch, maybe. And maybe if Malfoy just imperioed that general area, maybe he, which I thought was weak source kind of explanation.
Weak source.
Yeah.
That's weak source, Malfoy.
Well, it's my third go today. What do you expect?
Yeah. Get some strengthening solution on that.
Yeah, and then so Harry gets two more D's in potions.
That's nuts. Oh, wait.
That's nuts. That's somebody's new German sketch show. Where she witnesses awful things and then turns to the camera and goes, "That's nuts." And then they have occlumency again, and Snape sees the Voldemort vision that Harry saw.
Yeah, and Harry refuses to tell him about it.
Yeah. And he's mad that Harry hasn't managed to close his mind.
Yes.
And he's like,
"I feel you are laboring under the delusion that you are both special and important. But let me tell you, you are neither special nor important. And I..." "I haven't got a joke."
"Well, this is a serious subject, sir. I didn't expect you to be joking."
He's like, "No, no, I've been practicing."
"No, so wait, wait, I had something for this."
"You are neither serious nor important." "No, not serious." I hate serious. "You are neither special nor important. And that's why I'd cross the road. Ba-dum, ba-dum, dum."
And Harry's like... "I think it needs work."
"Maybe don't open with it."
So they do it again, and then this time Harry uses Protego.
Yes, and sees a few of Snape's childhood memories.
Yeah, they're all fucking bleak. I have sorry.
You have sorry for him. That's understandable. So, yeah, Snape's like, yeah, Harry sees her, you know, his childhood abusive memories and stuff. And Snape seems quietly pissed off about it, but not, like, overly enraged.
It makes me wonder if he knows that Harry saw it. Because he doesn't act like he has.
Yeah, not too much, no. He said, "Let's try again, shall we?" Oh, but Harry, he says it with a sinister vibe that lets Harry know he's going to be punished.
Right.
But then that could just be for using the shield charm.
So they do it again, and then Harry sees himself going into the door of the Department of Mysteries this time.
Yes, through the door, and he's lit with like a blue flame, and there's lots more doors.
And then he slopes like, "You're not working hard enough. You are lazy and something else, and there's no wonder the Dark Lord." And then Harry's like, "Hold on, why do you keep on calling him a Dark Lord, sir? Only Death Eaters call him that."
Yes.
And Snape's like, "Why are you little?" And then they hear a scream from above.
So they go immediately to where the woman was screaming. And we get the old Trelawney ejection scene.
Yes, the trajection.
The trajectory.
I don't know why that's funny. It just is.
Yeah.
We've reached that point.
We have.
They go and Trelawney's crying at the bottom of the stairs in the Great Hall, and everyone's sort of gathered around. And she's like, "Oh, but this is my home."
Yeah, and she's all like disheveled and drunk.
Yeah.
Umbridge is like, "Well, you must have known this was happening when you failed to produce even the slightest bit of proof that you're in any way qualified to do your job."
Yes.
And McGee comes and comforts her. He's like, "She won't have to leave Hogwarts." And Umbridge is like, "And your authority for that statement is?"
And then we hear, "Bow, bow, bow, bow." "That would be mine." And everyone turns and Dumbledore fucking like... strolls in,
just hands his air horn to a student on the way past. Takes his coat off, gives it to someone on the other side.
He actually comes in on a yacht. Just chilling in his little, like, you know, beach shorts,
yeah,
pimp cup in hand, loads of like, it's buff, like
exotic Filipino boys,
yeah, like fanning him with like palm leaves. And he's like, that would be mine. And yes. Then doffs his glasses. What's her name? Umbridge is like, oh, really? Well, what are we going to do when fucking I hire a new teacher and they need Trelawney's lodgings?
He's like, well, I'm sure that won't be an issue as I have found a replacement teacher. And she's like, what?
Yes, I think you'll find the under education decree, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, yes, that if that a substitute may be found for a fired teacher by the Inquisitor, if and only if the headmaster cannot find a suitable replacement.
And I have found a suitable replacement.
Yes, I have hired Mystic Meg.
Did she have like her own show?
I think she was just on the national lottery.
She was just on the lottery, wasn't she?
Yeah, she'd be like, and tonight, someone with blue hair and a dog in their back garden is going to win. It could be you.
Yeah, was that it?
Yeah. She was just kind of famous because she had an awesome haircut. Now he fucking brings in a horse.
Yeah. Doors to the entrance all burst open, moonlight streaming in behind him.
Yeah, and wind kicks up.
Yeah.
And it's like...
And he's like, sorry.
Sorry, that's what happens when you eat grass. Yeah. That's fucking Firenze.
Firenze.
Yeah. And that brings us to the end of this chapter, the end of this episode. Follow us on things. Go to our Instagram and Twitter and follow us at PoorlyReadPod. Email us at poorlyread@gmail.com. Please give us 5 stars. And,
yeah, is this mantra that we repeat at the end of each episode still meaningful?
Yeah, give us 5 stars and a good review on Apple Podcasts. It's good for you.
And us.
And us. Fuck me. I've been gifted.
And I've been Tom.
And Hagrid's been hangry.
Oh, God.
And Hagrid's been hangry.